FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's July 18th, 2017. Man, the summer is moving right along. It's always too short, although in Florida, it often feels like it's very long. You know, if you watch the mainstream media, some people call it the legacy media, and others, like our good friend Cheryl Atkinson, called it the post-mainstream media, whatever you want to call it. They're always doing these moral plays, these moral polemics, if you will. And it's always the left, progressives, communists, collectivists, whatever you want to call them, always have the good of the people of the country at heart. And it's always the conservatives, the people who would like to see smaller government and are worried about encroaching civil rights violations, freedoms from things like mass surveillance. They're always on the wrong side of the equation. And obviously, this is a meme. It's been going on for quite a while. And our good friend Mark Tapson has written about it in a recent article. Mark, you're over at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, written quite a lot. We've seen your work over at the Federalist, PJ Media, Big Hollywood, all over the place. And we welcome you to the show.
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you have any questions for Mark or myself, don't hesitate to shoot us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. So your article, The Compassionate Left and the Cold-Hearted Right. And I never knew, I don't necessarily classify myself as being on the right. I'm more of a libertarian. So that probably makes me even more cold-hearted than someone on the right, doesn't it?
Yes, according to the left's perspective, that would definitely be it.
And I agree with you. They're definitely, for people who don't want to be judged and don't want to be held to any standards, societal norms, or anything else, you know what? They're a little bit judgmental. Just a little, aren't they, Mark?
Just a tiny bit. They talk about tolerance and inclusiveness and all of these other grand ideas, but they're the first to exclude conservatives or ideas that they disagree with, whom they then demonize as cold-hearted monsters or even evil. And that's why I wrote this article, really. It was in response to a Huffington Post essay not too long ago called "I Don't Know How to Explain to You That You Should Care About Other People," which was, a rather condescending title to begin with. It was written by a young woman in New York who's very exasperated with the fact that conservatives don't seem to be as morally superior and as saintly and as compassionate as the left. And,
that's
clearly
nauseating.
Indicates that conservatives just don't care about the poor. We don't care about the disadvantaged or the homeless or any of that stuff. And of course, it's not that the conservatives are not compassionate. It's just that we have different, more reality-based solutions to solving these problems. But the left doesn't see it that way. They've been demonizing us for so long on the right that they don't really see us even as the same species. In some instances, they consider us just cold-hearted, and it's not really about the fact that we have different solutions. It's the fact that we just don't care.
Well, I think it's...
So I wrote this article to refute that.
And I think it's that the right actually has solutions. The left offers nothing but more of the same. So when she was talking about compassion, was she referring to the professor in Berkeley that was masked and swinging a bicycle rack, hitting people, a bicycle lock, hitting people over the head? Is that her idea of compassion, I wonder?
Yeah, you won't see the left taking credit for things like that. They kind of gloss over that stuff and instead talk about how morally superior they are.
Yeah, and oh yes, gun control is very morally superior, except that in every state that has loosened up requirements and instituted shall issue carry permits, you've seen the per capita murder rate go down, and no place as great as the first state that did it in Florida in 1987. I'm not making this about gun control. This is a fact. The per capita murder rate is down over 60% from 1986, the year before that bill was passed, but they are more compassionate because nobody should have a gun except the police, right?
Exactly. And, you know, their compassion, as you were kind of suggesting there, is not really helping anyone out. It's not really helping the people that they claim to be compassionate about. You can see that in their social programs over the last, well, social and economic programs and policies over the last 40 or 50 years. They're not helping. They're not helping minorities or the poor or the disadvantaged. The healthcare, you know, the healthcare scenario is a disaster. They're not helping. But at least they put up a good show, a good front of caring about people. And they do an excellent job of demonizing the right in popular culture and in the news media and in academia as not caring at all. And of course, as I mentioned before, that's not the issue. The issue is that we have reality-based solutions that actually help those people and also that don't keep those disadvantaged people in a kind of demeaning sense of dependency on the government. So that also is why I wrote this article.
Yeah, I mean, go back to Rudy Giuliani, mayor of New York. The year before he came into office, there were over 2,000 murders in New York City. Those murders and crime in general declined greatly. And yet his solutions, while proven to work, were horrible, inhumane, and just like he should have been tried as a war criminal, the way they were behaving towards the man. Look, and when a police shooting happened, it was his fault. I mean, they have no solutions for anything. But the worst part is, Mark, is that when people do have solutions, put their political affiliations aside, because Giuliani, while being a Republican, really was a moderate Republican, liberal socially. It was just law and order and quality of life were his primary concerns as mayor of the city of New York. And they worked, and yet he was vilified and demonized for the very success that he brought to New York City.
Yeah, the left is very good at demonizing us in the culture, and that's it's reached the point where it's such a deep cultural assumption that it's really difficult for the right to overcome, especially because we're not as good as the left at messaging, at getting our message out. Of course, part of the problem is that the left controls all the messaging institutions. They largely control the news media, Hollywood and the entertainment arena, academia. All of those cultural institutions are reinforcing this sort of leftist demonization of the right. And so it's hard for us to promote ourselves and our policies. It's pretty easy for the left to promote their own and to make themselves look good in the process and compassionate and nice and like decent human beings.
Hey, look at the healthcare thing. Somehow expanding Medicaid, which by all accounts is a failed system, a failed medical system for the poor, but by expanding it, that's compassionate. And even Republicans like Kasich, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, it's like, oh, we're doing God's work here. So you're taking money from people without their consent and giving it to other people. And that is somehow God's will. That's God's work. I mean, maybe I'm missing something here, Mark.
Yeah. And in addition to healthcare, here's an example that comes from this Huffington Post article itself. The woman who wrote it brought up the issue of giving, for example, fast food workers a living wage. And of course, you know, conservatives don't like this idea of a high minimum wage because it doesn't work for the people involved. But the left sees this as being heartless because they think, oh, well, you know, everyone should have a living wage to keep their family out of poverty and all that sort of thing. And that makes Democrats feel good. It makes them feel morally superior to conservatives. But the inarguable economic reality is that that solution, that high minimum wage, ultimately drives those workers into either fewer hours at work and therefore smaller paychecks, or it drives them out of a job altogether as they get replaced by automated kiosks. Yeah. So it doesn't help at all, but it makes the left look compassionate. It makes them look like decent human beings. And that's kind of a compelling message to get across, especially the young people who, you know, maybe aren't yet familiar with real world economic reality.
Yeah, they certainly aren't. You know, it's a learning process that takes place that we all have to go through, and somehow the progressive left misses it. They never are actually there, are they?
Yeah, or they understand it deep down, but they're hypocritical about it because it helps keep them in power. It helps enlarge government power, and so it's very useful for them, useful for leftist politicians anyway, to promote that message.
Oh yeah, for sure. So one thing, when you talked about messaging, the current occupant of the White House has stood their messaging up, right, on their, has really given them the messaging back. There was an article today, Because He Fights, and they were likening him to President Ulysses S. Grant, even though to General Ulysses S. Grant winning the Civil War effectively, even though Lincoln didn't really like the guy, he said, he's there because he fights. And mm-hmm. Trump is ushered in a whole new way of addressing and dealing with the left, hasn't he?
He sure has. And that's why he's president, because he demonstrated that during the campaign and people rallied around it. Conservatives kind of rallied around that. A lot of conservatives obviously were put off by certain aspects of his approach. In fact, I wasn't a Trump fan in the beginning. Trump was not my candidate during the campaign, but you know what? My candidate would have lost.
Yeah.
And every other candidate on the right would have lost. Trump was the only one who could have beaten Hillary, because he's a fighter, because he's aggressive in a way that conservative politicians very rarely are. And he took the fight to them, and they weren't used to that. And he's still taking the fight to the left, and they're freaking out. They're flailing about. They're becoming angrier. They're becoming literally more violent because they have never faced an opponent like this.
He's driven them to impotence, basically. And, these pundits on the right and the left, they all say Trump should stop tweeting. Don't tweet. It's bad. And, maybe I'm a fool here, Mark, but I think that it's the best thing that he can do. It's the only way and the most effective way he can fight back. And they have no answers. All they could say is he shouldn't tweet like that. Right. I mean, that's all they could say.
Yeah, too many conservatives, even now that Trump is in office, too many conservatives are still resisting his methods. And, Trump is not my style either. But as I suggested earlier, my style would not have won.
Oh, there's no way.
My style would not have won this recent election. And so there are too many conservatives that still want to play by the Marquess of Queensbury rules. And they, want to play it more politely and in more of a dignified way. But at some point, when your opponent is not playing by the Marquess of Queensbury rules, sometimes you have to get down in the dirt with them and fight back on their terms because it's the only thing they understand.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what happened. And look, no one else was going to call Hillary Clinton crooked Hillary. They weren't going to do it.
Exactly.
And Jeb Bush was never going to win. None of them could have beaten her. They all would have lost. I mean, I don't hear many people say that. And then to think that somehow Bernie Sanders could have beaten Trump is just purely delusional. He couldn't have won, even if he was running only against himself. There's no way that he would have won. And, these lessons, the left has not learned them. They're fighting the wind here, and they keep getting more and more over the top, irrational, vitriolic, like you said, even breaking down violence a lot. None of the violence is coming from the right. It's all coming from the left.
That's true. And I think it's a positive thing in a way that they're doing this for our side, because they're basically exposing themselves for what they really are. And Trump has a genius for doing that. He has a genius for trolling them and drawing out their worst instincts. And I think it's making them look bad. I think independents and maybe even a lot of Democrats are seeing this and hopefully beginning to distance themselves from that and, maybe giving conservatism or libertarianism a chance.
Yeah. And, while they're exposing themselves, okay, forget about the hardcore left. Nothing is going to change the way they're behaving. Mm-hmm. But while they're exposing themselves, the people who were Democrats, who voted Democrat in those Brexit states, as I call them, Michigan, Wisconsin, a little bit of Ohio, a little bit of Iowa there. They're reinforcing their decision to not vote for Hillary and not vote Democratic. And they're oblivious to this. They have no sense of self-awareness here. It's like Mayor de Blasio, you know, a person of very limited talents, limited intellect, and limited ability. And yet he thinks that he should be president one day, that he's fit to be president. And, you know, maybe they look and they say, well, if Donald Trump could do it, then I can do it. But, you know, this guy is just a bundle of incompetencies wrapped up in a pro-Marxist costume, you know, totally unaware. And just like the left is completely unself-aware.
Yeah, I think the radical left has been so successful for so long, you know, having gotten their man Obama in the White House twice and having essentially won the culture war. I think the radical left has just become overconfident. They lack a certain self-awareness now. They're not as insidious as they used to be, an insidiousness that got them as far as they've gotten, but they're not as clever about it. I think they're overconfident, and they're not, as I mentioned before, they're not used to dealing with people like Trump, and he triggers them, and they expose themselves, and then they take it to the next level. They're not catching on. They're not learning. And so that's a positive thing for us.
Yeah, it's a very self-destructive. I mean, you're supposed to, in a political party, have a feedback loop. So things don't go well for you. You analyze your defeats and you come up with strategies to ensure future victories. And yet they can't come to terms with their defeats. So they are not going to be any future victories because they're out of the feedback loop. They are unable to come up with objective explanations. Don't necessarily have to be the right ones, but you know, it's like you or I, Mark, we screw something up bad. We go back, hopefully, and check out and see, well, where did I go wrong? What was a thought? What was my reaction? What did I do here? But yet this party called the Democratic Party has lost all ability to be self-critical and self-analytical. And all they can do is react. And this is disaster. Not that I think the Republican Party is in much better state. Just look at the healthcare debate. But but they're winning and the Democrats aren't.
Yeah, the Democrats are still blaming Hillary's loss on misogyny. And, you know, they blame other losses of political seats on racism or hate or, you know, all of these things that they like to hammer the right with. But you're right, the conservative party still has, you know, we have a lot of establishment conservatives, establishment Republicans that are something of an obstacle in terms of the right getting its act together. but in general, we have the left on the run now. We've got the political momentum. We even have the cultural momentum. And as long as we don't screw that up, which is easier said than done, then I think we, you know, the tide may be beginning to turn.
Yeah, we can only hope. And look, the media, everyone, I mean, those establishment Republicans you're talking about, they don't understand why Trump won either. And they're behaving just like the Democrats, not with the vitriol, but with a tin ear and with the complete lack of empathy and understanding for their constituents and the very same constituents that Trump marshaled to win his campaign and become president. They don't get it either. They're as dumb as the Democrats when you get down to it, rightfully earning the label the party of stupid.
I think that's true. I think, you know, being in political office tends to warp your perspective on things, whether it's on the left or the right. Just being in political office, I think you start to develop a sense of self-preservation and a sense of, you know, you develop a sort of a lust for power in a way, whether it's conscious or not. And, You don't want to rock that boat. You know, you want to stay in office. You want to keep things, you want to keep the status quo. So even on the right, you see a lot of politicians who are, they're resisting the rather radical change that Trump is bringing. They're clinging to the status quo, even though it too often aligns them with Democrats. And, you know, it's a tough thing to overcome. It takes a lot of personal integrity and a lot of courage and vision and maybe even a certain degree of selflessness. But it's that's still a problem for a lot of politicians on the right.
Yeah, it's a big problem. And I think times are changing. Politicians aren't changing with the times. And that's on both sides of the aisle. And it's going to be proved disastrous for their careers. Trump will come out on top. There's no question in my mind. Mark, we want to check out your work, read your articles. Where are the best places to find you on the web?
Well, I'm an editor of the David Horowitz Freedom Center's website called truthrevolt.org. And my own personal website where I collect all my articles is simply marktapson.com.
All right. And we will post a link to it in the show notes to this interview. Again, if you got any questions for Mark or myself, email us kl@carrielutz.com or any other show I've done. The Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Mark, been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good. My pleasure. Thanks.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.